Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program's broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yagera, Turrbal and Yugrupul peoples, the Yugambeh, Mananjali, Kombamiri, Noonuckle peoples. And I'd also like to acknowledge elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country via the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. And a special welcome to Bumabipra Media up there in Cairns today. Our story is, my guest is talking to me from Hope Vale. So there's a lot of Cape York mob in and around Cairns. So special acknowledgement to Bumabipra Media and the team, that deadly little team up there. Well, you know, you've got to question the credibility of this Newman government. Here we see the former president, Bruce Flegg, I think he was a president, wasn't he? Nominating his son's partner for an award, an International Women's Day award. Now, Flegg's already resigned, or he was an MP, sorry. He's already resigned. Was he Minister for Health or something? Because of what he described as some sort of bureaucratic bungling when it was his own. I think, from what I can read, it appears that it's his own failing to disclose particular information issues. But here he is now. It's his son's partner, or we're working in the business. But fails to mention that she's the business partner of his son. That he's nominated for this award. And then you look at, just last week we saw Campbell Newman come out strong, making a statement. The state government will no longer fund the Cape York trials, the welfare reform trials up there, four trial sites, Hope Vale, Cowan, Arakoon, Mossman Gorge. Queensland government no longer going to fund it. Some tens of millions of dollars. The Commonwealth government funds it and the Queensland government was pulling out. Within hours, this bloke's done a backflip. Within hours. What state of affairs are governments in this country today, be they Labor, be they Liberal? What is the state of affairs? They are totally deficient in all sorts of common sense and ideas. They've got no idea what's going on, what to do, how to do it. That's federal government. State government here, federal Labor, state coalition, is just pathetic. Right across the board, it is pathetic. And that's just a couple of examples. I mean, you look at the reasons why Flegg had to resign, and just last week there was another MP had to resign because of issues that he'd been involved in, reportedly involved in anyway. So it's a sad state of affairs. But you know what? It's even sadder for First Nations people and First Nations communities. It is much, much sadder. First Nations communities have, well, there's a number of shire councils now. The communities have their own shire councils, the Aboriginal shire councils, right throughout Cape York, down to Cherbourg, Woorabinda, Palm Island, Yarrabah, and then, of course, all those on Cape York. Yet, just recently, we saw the mayor of Hope Vale getting grabbed by police, pepper sprayed, handcuffed and charged. Where do you see on the white side of town? Where do you see in those mainstream shire councils where the police will go straight for the mayor? There is just total disrespect and disregard at the highest levels in this country towards First Nations people. I have no doubt about making that statement, no question at all. Total disregard and disrespect for First Nations people at the highest levels of government in this country today. What a sad state of affairs it is. Let's hear from Greg McLean, the Mayor of Hope Vale. Greg, welcome to the program. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. thanks, Tiger, for having me on your show this morning.
Tell me your mob, your country.
All right, I'm part of the Kuyalanji Nation, Kukubirji, which is between Lakeland Downs and Cooktown. That's my father's side. My mother's side is the Kalpau region, Pakarmuku. And so I'm really not a Kukuyemidir person, but, you know, the way history put it, I grew up here. My grandfather was born here. My father grew up here.
Okay. Yeah. So, and your family have been a part of this community for a couple of generations then?
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been the mayor for how long?
9 years. This is my ninth year.
Is that...
Look after.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does there, yeah. Is there conflict, do you think, from local TO families, Kukuyimiti people? They're the traditional owners, are they not, the Kukuyimiti people of Hopewell?
Yeah.
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 Is there conflict or conflicting views between traditional owner families and yourself because you've only been there a couple of generations? You're not a traditional owner of a traditional owner family for that local area. Does that bring some angst or some conflict, some issues for you?
Oh, with some of the traditional owners, yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't show it on the ballot paper, that's for sure. And we've seen that for 3 terms now. Mm. That I don't think there will ever be a traditional owner that'll hold the seat of mayor in this community.
Why do you think that?
Because I think the traditional owners and the people of Hopewell are afraid of putting traditional owners in the seat. I'm sorry to say it the way it is, but that is my opinion, and I think that is, and it's shown, it's a fact so far.
Well, like you say, you have been re-elected. You've done 3 terms. In that community. If there was any ill feeling, it would show in the ballot on election day, voting day.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, mm. And I know that I have opposition here with traditional owners and maybe 20 or 30 other people who are opposition to me, but they're the ones who've got to prove that they can do my job also.
Yes, well, that's right. Yes, yes. Yeah. Greg, about a month ago, there was an incident, a situation there in Hopewell, and a couple of some community members, what I think at the time was described as being riotous or unruly behaviour. Police were called. You went down as mayor. You ended up being charged. You went down as mayor to try to be a peacemaker, you were telling me earlier. But during the course of things, you ended up being pepper sprayed, handcuffed, and charged. That situation that took place there's some history to that. There's been conflict with a couple of families there for some years, you were telling me. And your cousins, your families is one part of one of the parties, and other local mob as well.
Yeah. Well, it's not just my cousins. My boys have been also been picked on since they left school, but they've learned to control themselves, and I've had to. That's not the first time I stood between families and other families and my families before the police had got there. So this was no different. I went down there as a leader of my family also, because I know that my family will listen to me, and not only as a leader of my family, but the mayor of Hopewell. And unfortunately, when the police arrived, they found me holding the second spear that I had taken off one of my cousins. So, you know, they came there at least 40 minutes into this argument. I got there 30 minutes into it. And so by the time I got there, I was mainly taking weapons off my relatives.
All right, so you're trying to get people to see reason and not use weapons and things like that. You were playing the role of a peacemaker. You said the police got there 40 minutes into it. I mean, did the police have to travel from Cooktown, did they?
One would think, yeah. I don't know. They probably have to iron their clothes and strap up their pepper spray and their guns and put them on their hip and make sure they're sitting right, because it's only 3 minutes away. So
what time of the day? What time of the day did this happen?
This was about 5:30 in the afternoon. I got there about 4:15, so it started about 4:30.
Well, they should have been well rigged by that time of the day, wouldn't they? For their day's duties, they would have been well rigged.
One would think so. And I don't know, maybe a bit of gold had to go on the uniform too, you know?
Yeah, yes. All right. Now, you were seen, you'd taken us at the second spear, you were seen with the spear, police race in and grab you. There were some words mentioned to you as to why you were grabbed. What'd they say? Why you?
Well,
Greg, after all, you're the mayor. After all, and you're there as a peacemaker. You're not leading. You're not leading or inciting riot. You're there as the mayor and as a head of a family group and as a peacemaker.
Yeah. Well, as they saw it, that I was standing there with the spear, but that's when I took the spear off one of my cousins and I threw it away. And by the time the police, and this is the funniest part about it, when the police got there, my cousin was still got the spear back again and was holding it in his hand. And he said, well, why didn't they take me if that was the case? I was holding the spear when they arrested you.
Mm. You were pepper sprayed, handcuffed, told to get on the ground?
Handcuffed, told to get on the ground, and I said, well, I'm not getting on the ground. I'm going far as my knees, and that's as far as I'm going. And even at that point, the police had already pepper sprayed himself, and the other policeman rushed off to look for his camera. So I was standing with one handcuff on my right hand and with the other hand down on my side, and I was easy prey for anybody who would run up and want to give me a...
Do a touch-up while you're there.
Give me a blow in the face, you know?
Mm.
But not that I was going to let that happen.
Yeah. So you're on the ground, you've been pepper sprayed, and you've got one handcuff dangling. You've got a handcuff wrapped around one end, and the other end of it's dangling in the air.
Yeah. Could have been dangerous too, you know.
Of course.
Being in that position, and this policeman was standing there, then they said they put the handcuff on me. Then they paraded me around the yard, so I was a trophy for them on that day. But when it comes down to it, you know, it was people, if this had happened in the city where a group of people goes from their residence to another residence, wouldn't one think that the affray had already started? So I'm charged with affray. Well, I got there when the affray was in progress. And if I took my family from their place and marched them up the road to fight a family up the road, then one would think that I would get charged or my family would get charged.
That happens
everywhere else.
Mm.
But here in Hopewell, it doesn't work like that.
There was an acting sergeant on the day. The sergeant of the community wasn't present.
No, he wasn't present. And I got to say this, you know, that every time something big happens here, our sergeant is not here. It just so happens. I don't know if that's coincidence or not, but that's the way it is. He's never here. I even said that to him. And this acting sergeant now of the day, I've had an argument, not an argument, I've had a few words with him the day before on the Monday. Everything happened on Tuesday. Monday, I had a talk to him and me and him, well, we don't see eye to eye because I've even, Inspector Mark Jackson from Cairns, had to write a letter to the council, or to myself, apologising for his actions with the sergeant here now.
So there's some history. Right. This is the acting sergeant or the sergeant?
This is the acting sergeant.
Yeah, the bloke that was down there.
The arresting officer.
Yes, yes. So there's some history. There's some history with you and him there.
There's some history between me and him, yeah.
Okay.
So retribution, we can call it whatever. But he was a fellow who was really out to get me, and he succeeded. But I'm not going to give up without a court case and without fighting this case.
So you'll force them to prove that you were doing what they allege, that you were insightful or afraid, that you were leading the affray.
Yeah, well, I was charged with a fray. A fray was already in progress. Assaulting a police officer, well, assault can come in all shapes and forms. The other one was resisting arrest. Well, of course, I'm going to resist when somebody is going to, and I'll plead guilty to that. You know, of course, people running at me while the police were holding me in that, and it all happened in a split second, you know, when everything, they come running towards me and the police was holding me and...
Well, in fact, you weren't. In fact, the way you describe it, in fact, you weren't resisting arrest. You were looking at trying to protect yourself.
That's right.
Because you were in a vulnerable position.
Yes.
Yeah, so in fact, you wouldn't be guilty. Or well, but anyway... these coppers said something to you along the lines of, well, you're high profile, we'll take you.
Well, that's what they've said to a number of people after they've taken me. And they said, well, and a few people who stood up went to the police and said, well, why are you arresting him? Well, he's the fellow with the profile, so we're taking him. And yet there was this family with about 300 people standing behind them, and we all know that 300 of them wasn't coming to help them out.
Mm.
This family, they followed the show.
Will you be...
They did have a show. They had a show pony right in front of them.
Yeah. Will you be pursuing this and so far, like with back to the Cairns office, the head office for this acting sergeant, as you before? You will be? That'll be one of your course of action?
That's it. And to make things better on my side, I even called Inspector Mark Jackson on that Monday morning and reported that this police officer told my auntie to go down to her place because of the incident that happened on early Saturday morning, the police officer told my auntie to go down to her place, go down to her daughter's place, jump on the roof, take the rocks and the bars and the sticks off the roof and the wheel spanners, and everything will be fine. And it's not their business because it's native title. Native title, people can go wherever they want to. Now, nowhere did I read that native title is above the Queensland state laws, you know, police law.
Nowhere in the country is native title above any of the laws already in place, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an outrageous thing for a copper to say. It's clearly he's ignorant to the laws, or he doesn't give a stuff and makes the rules as he goes along, and I would think that it's the latter, or both, a combination of all the above.
Yep.
With that
you know, I watched a documentary on on NITV about a month ago, I think it was, or about 6 weeks ago, and it was a story on Malcolm Smith.
Yeah, died in custody.
During that documentary, there was the Academy was asked a question, and it was a Murray fellow that asked this, an Indigenous person that asked the question. He said to the Academy, I want you to write down what you really, your honest opinion of your thoughts or what you think of our Indigenous people. And, you know, some of the things that some of these young police officers wrote were disgusting, racist, discriminatory. But they had to write their honest opinion. And this police officer, I don't think he's been through any induction, and if he did, he must have missed a day. So they missed out on his questions, him answering on paper too.
So the charges that were laid on you, that's the usual trifecta that most of us wear when police grab us for anything. I mean, that was...
Yes.
That's the norm, isn't it? The trifecta.
Normal.
Assault police, a fray, disobeying a police direction or something along those lines?
Yeah, or disorderly conduct. You know?
Yes.
Well, in these three, all of those will come up in the charges. And it's going to be resisting arrest with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other charges. So, you know, so I'm not just facing these three charges. It comes with a whole lot of things.
A whole string of things, right.
Oh yeah, because that's the way it works. You know, until you read your QP9, you know what how everything works. And I've been going to court with my boys for the last 4 years because of them trying to protect their property.
Right.
And they stood up to a lot of people here in Hopewell, and they even went to court over it.
Do you feel that there's a breakdown? Do you feel there's a breakdown just insofar as, well, it's not just with the police. I think this whole system still fails not only First Nations people, but primarily First Nations people. But across the board, there are people out in the dominant culture, the poor, the marginalised, that are being treated in a similar way. But right across the board, you're a mayor of a community. One would think there'd be some sort of respect and stuff shown. I mean, even as mayor, do you think the First Nations mayors are taken as seriously, are given the same sort of status and respect as any as mayors normally across the dominant culture shire councils?
I think it's like this. You're an Indigenous person. We are in control. We don't need to ask any questions. We will just chuck you in jail. You will be arrested. We don't have to ask anybody anything. And as long as I got a gripe against you, you're coming with me. And you know, it's just like a case of a mistaken identity too. You know, and how can police keep doing this? My nephew, I just heard of my grandson in Cairns, walking through the mall with his parents, went shopping. They arrested him and they put it down to mistaken identity. This kid has never been in trouble before. This kid has never been in Cairns, never lived in Cairns. He lives in Mossman. So this kid has been been arrested under the pretense of mistaken identity. Now, how long can we, the First Nations people, put up with mistaken identity? Surely they knew who I was on that day also.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And maybe it will come down to mistaken identity.
Yeah.
Maybe it will come down to, and this is the way the law works.
Well, they're local police. They are local police, are they not? They weren't from Cairns. They hope they're local police.
They hope they're local police.
Yes.
Now, if they would have...
They'd find it hard to justify, oh, mistaken identity. We didn't realise it was the mayor.
Yeah, no, I think they'll push that anyway. But the thing is, we, the people, anywhere, we have to put up with this. We have to put up with how the law... And especially in these four communities, with welfare reform, the Anti-Discrimination Act, who's going to fight that? Because it doesn't apply to us here. That's been withdrawn
or suspended.
Suspended. Yeah. And so we got to put up with how they put it across. So it's all right for these fellas to do it to anybody. And if I was a black preacher here in Hopewell, probably they'll do that to me too.
So you're saying
whether you're a preacher, whether you're a...
It doesn't matter what you are, who you are. Are you saying
right.
It's more like declaring it's just open slather, you're an open target because you're a First Nations person now?
Yeah.
You get that feeling?
We're open target. We're open target. And yet we have these programs within our community. Now, half of my relatives work in these organizations. But those relatives are the ones who hear what happens. Who knows what's happening here,
along
with everybody else in this community, and they experience it.
Mm.
But yet, none of them has lifted a finger to go back to their departments, back to their organizations, and say, well, hang on, hey, this has been happening for far too long. What are we going to do about it? Does well-being do anything about it? Does Family Responsibilities Commission do anything about it? You know, does the Elders Justice Group do anything about it?
Mm.
Nobody has ever said that. And I call these people after the fact people, because these people come out of nowhere to have something to say after everything has happened. You know, and that's the kind of people that we deal with too. And that is because the organizations between Canberra and our communities are not working with the program of welfare reform that should have been, that could be.
I want to come back and talk about the welfare reform, but I think what you described to me that's happened up there in Hopewell and continues to happen is a similar thing to what I've experienced and observed down here in Brisbane at the so-called riots out at Woodridge, Logan. a month or two back. Again, the police, it appears to me that the police weren't all that well organised. Well, maybe they were. Maybe they went in with a clear intent to grab you. But it seems like, I don't know, if there's a cop has pepper sprayed himself, I mean, it shows a some degree of incompetence and or panic or something going on there. But down here,
I thought it was panic too.
You think it was panic? Yeah. Down here, I just see the coppers want to focus on First Nations people, contain them. They allowed the Pacific Island community, the young fellows that were part of the problem, to drive around and taunt those that particular family in Douglas Street, to actually drive up to the driveway of the house and be taunting people. And the coppers were there 100 metres away trying to contain the First Nations party, but allowed the other party just to drive around and be quite free about it. But then the police had come in and just grab them young First Nations fellas off the street and issue them with charges and summonses and what have you. And it was a long, long time before anybody was charged from the Pacific Island community. And then all charges were dropped because of some business. But that Douglas Street, Woodridge or Logan incident, there was quite a large number of young Pacific Islanders that attacked the house. They vandalised the house and terrorised the residents, and it was weeks before anybody was charged. So my position, or what I'm thinking, is these police don't really care about the rights of First Nations people. We are being failed by this system in the 21st century. There's clear evidence we're being failed by the system, be it corrections, be it policing, be it health, be it education. We continue to be failed by this damn system. And we have a right to stand up and argue. We have a right to stand up and fight for what is rightfully ours, and that is to have access to the same services, to be treated consistently and respectfully across the board, just like anybody else or like any human being should be. We have a right to stand up for that.
Yeah, and like here in Hopewell, the taunting, it's happened for 4 years. To this one family. Now, and the difference maybe here is, and I've got to say it, our own people here in Hopewell seeing it happen, they know it happened. They know when it's going to happen. And yet, these people, they come out after and say, well, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done this. Well, hang on, what should have been done about it? You know, why didn't these people step up and say, well, like I said before, go and get the rightful authorities. I put in here for PLOs, police liaison officers here in Hopewell. Now I know why they don't want police liaison officers here. It is because the police liaison officers in our communities will set the record straight. You know, if we had one. They will tell the police, well, hang on, you just came along. Now, say in my case, now they would have just said, hey, hang on, this fella came for this reason, and let's go and ask around. They never asked no questions. That wasn't their case.
So yes, a local member of the community, a local member of the community who would be a police liaison officer, knows background, knows history, knows the different situations and stuff, like the circumstances, all that sort of stuff, and would be able to present or be a part of the resolution of things rather than ongoing problem.
Yeah, and after the fact people come out and have a lot to say about all of the rest of the things. All the rest of the things, you know, that it shouldn't have happened like this. Well, what did they do about it?
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of people here. Now, I got to say, most of them are my relatives, and I said that before. But these are the things that Hopewell people got to put up with. None of them want to be on the right. Nobody wants to say anything. Maybe it's because of retaliation. I think most of these people are afraid of some of these people, afraid of retribution. But at some point, it is going to happen to them. And they're going to be looking for help from somebody. It just so happens that I've been able to get a lawyer, and I got to back that up also. So, you know, some people may not be as fortunate as I am to have everything in place. And the best part about my case is there's been people standing there with their phones, videoing everything. Some people had an iPhone, iPads. They got everything
all on camera.
So all on camera. Mm. And I can't argue with that. And I think neither can the police.
No, that's certainly good that people are using those iPads and phones and things and recording. I mean, that's something that I can't encourage people enough to do whenever there's an incident or any issues, even if it's just a civilian thing, road rage or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Get that phone out and record it to back yourself up. Greg, we'll take a break for a song and come back. I want to talk about the welfare reform because there's tens of millions of dollars going into just four communities. And I don't know, the population combined of those four communities, would it be 5,000 people? Would it be 8,000 people? Would it be 10,000 people? There's a small number of small number collectively, but tens of millions of dollars. And I want to just ask you what your views are, not only with the welfare reform, with the Family Responsibilities Commission and stuff like that as well, because it seems to be a lot of money, small number of people. And what are the outcomes? Is there big outcomes or some failings and they could do things better? But I also want to talk about coordination. You're talking about people in government departments. I'd like to say, well, Noel Pearson, Cape York Institute, Balkanoo, Noel's been in a position for a long, long time and he's a local Hope Vale man. Is he doing enough or could he be doing more in assisting to have a more coordinated approach to some of these things? We don't see a lot or hear a lot of Noel. But anyway, let's take a break for a song and we'll come back to you. My guest is Greg McLean. He's the mayor of Hope Vale Community. Hope Vale Community is northwest of Cooktown, about 40 minutes drive or so, 3/4 of an hour drive. Beautiful community, beautiful place. It's traditional country belonging to Kuku Imiti mob, but as is with a lot of communities, be it even here in Brisbane or Yarrabah, wherever it is, a lot of our mob have been moved a couple of generations back, have been taken from their own country and placed on other people's country. And that in itself has created challenges and traumas and conflict and rarely resolved, continues across generations. Greg, it was only a couple of weeks ago we saw a similar situation with police and residents of Dumuji community. There were reports there that police officer, female officer, was quite disrespectful and stuff, but only reports and allegations made. But it was, again, a flare-up in the community and police, I don't know, but it appeared that they weren't able to handle it. I don't know, I think there's some issues with training and stuff. What are your thoughts about police and awareness, cultural awareness, but just general training and the respect towards First Nations people generally?
That's it, because I watched the news on that and I seen Mayor Fred, you know, he was sitting there quite depressed there also because of what he was called. He was called a name he shouldn't have been, you know, and this was by police. And Fred had mentioned that on TV.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with police in our communities that are purely dependent on this Racial Discrimination Act being suspended. And it's very, it's frustrating.
It certainly must
for Indigenous people. Yeah.
Yep. It certainly must be seriously frustrating. Now, the welfare reforms. There are four trial sites, Hope Vale, Cowan, Arakoon, Mossman Gorge. Been running for a number of years now, tens of millions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars going in over the years. What are your thoughts now? I mean, last week we saw Campbell Newman, the Premier, declare that the Queensland Government would no longer fund it, and then within a matter of hours he's done a backflip. What are your thoughts regarding results, regarding outcomes? The small number of people in the combined, the collective population of four communities and the tens of millions of dollars, what are the issues? What are they dealing with? What is the welfare reforms trials focusing on and how the outcome's been?
Well, you know, welfare reform is change for the better. And we, if it's for change for the better, then I think with the government making their decision last week, which we've experienced, leading up to their decision against and then for, that was the state's decision just in a day last week. I think I'll put it down to what Bob Hawke said in an interview just about 6 months ago. There'll never be another. There'll never be real politicians anymore, you know, because the politicians nowadays, they owe something to somebody, especially to the unions who get them up into these positions, you know, with different parties. So I think I'll break it down to nowadays, I think the decision is based on who owes what to who.
So you don't think it's a real high quality of politician we have in, generally speaking? I mean, there are a couple of good ones, but by gee, the majority of them, you think the quality of politician is lacking?
Yeah, because when you make a decision, you make a decision. And, you know, we're expected as local government to stick by our decisions and to make some hard, fast decisions, and you work with it. But in this case, I think the state government has gone with the another trial for another year. And this is where I think I'm going to be working very closely with the Cape York Institute, Noel Pearson, and with some of the all the programs within our community. Because I think when I look at it over the last 5 years, in the programs that have come to this community. We haven't seen much of an outcome with anything other than education and health. We're still trying to get on top of the health issues, but if we're going to deal with health, then health must be health, health department, Queensland Health Department. And if it's going to be education, education must be focused on as education and the surroundings, the learning area. I'd like to make sure that our children have the things that every other state school has in Queensland. So, you know, for that amount of dollars for 4,000, between 4,000 and 5,000 people between these four communities coming and going, we should have our schools up to date. We should have facelift on our school. Our classroom should be like any other school in Queensland. We should be producing some students that are academically ready for the world, you know.
How do you feel about education? How do you feel looking around Hopevale? I mean, them young fellas have got to go to Cooktown from Hopevale. I mean, that's a 40-minute drive or so. You don't have high school. Well, hang on. Do you have high school in Hopevale? No.
No high school here in Hopevale.
Okay. So there's a challenge for those that want to go to high school and the parents that want their children to get a better education. But what's the incentive for these young fellas to go across to Cooktown? I mean, then are there that many jobs? Are there opportunities? Are there opportunities for these young fellas when they come back? Say they've gone through to year 12, they graduate, and they come back, their literacy and numeracy is good, they've got a relatively good understanding of, as far as the education goes, that they've received. Are there opportunities in Hopevale? Are there many opportunities? What are their options, having to leave the community and stuff?
We are limited to jobs within our community, but we try to make sure that, yes, we can create that, and we can look at employment in our communities. Now, one of the things that has to be brought up, and this is where welfare reform has to play a big part with ab study. See, some of our kids, most of them don't want to go to Cooktown High School. Most of them would like to go to Cairns, Brisbane, Council, Ingham, all of these other opportunities. Now, ab study, and this is where I have to get together with you. If we're thinking about education, then don't just look at the school here. Yes, we've got, but these kids need incentive to where they're going to go to after grade 7, because we only go to grade 7 here in Hopewell. Grade 8, I'm sure that some of the parents would like to send their children away rather than into Cooktown.
What do you think stops them? What's the deterrent?
Study. All the problems with AbStudy, Centrelink, and the way we the way they have to, they've got to reach certain standards before they get to send their children away. And when they do, our children still got to miss out on school for at least 2 to 3 weeks leading into the new year. So, you know, I've...
Why is that?
That's because of how AbStudy operates. And what the guidelines you got to, because we got the closest school here in Cooktown, then our kids got to go to Cooktown. Well, that shouldn't be, you know. I sent my son is doing grade 11 this year, and he's decided, well, I'm not going to go anywhere near here. I'm taking off, so he's down in Rockhampton in Yeppoon, you know. So he's out there, and. He never came home for holidays either. And this is the kind of things that we need to get into some of our students. Let's get them out there. Let's put them out there give them opportunities that are available to everyone else. But AbStudy will come up with a few dollars, and then we got to pay the rest. Like, I got to pay the rest for my son's education.
You know? Now, so, you've got one of the most influential First Nations people in this country, comes from your community, Noel Pearson, is able to call the Queensland Premier, the Federal Prime Minister, I believe, you know, can call them directly, or their aides, their advisors. And Noel's been big on education. Have there been attempts, has there been discussions about overhauling or giving Hopewell and other First Nations communities better opportunities or removing these barriers? Has there been discussions with Noel? Because he's big on education and talks about the need to go away to boarding school.
Well, that's what I'm hoping to achieve this week. I'm wanting to call a meeting with him sometime this week or in the next couple of weeks to talk about education and how we lift the stakes, we might say, for our children to go down to, well, Jarrigan even, in Cairns. Hmm. Cape York Institute owns that. So, you know, get more children away from the communities and give them the opportunity. Because at one point in life, these children are going to be mixing and living, not in Hopewell, but outside of Hopewell, because they're going to be looking for jobs. And jobs are not going to be readily available in our community. As much as we try, we are limited in our communities for employment.
You can only do what you can with the resources you have.
Yeah, and in some cases, some of our children are not going to make it then. So we're still stuck on how we, for employment anyway.
Greg, it appears then that there needs to be more of a coordinated approach across the board, not like discussions with Noel, discussions with the people in government departments. You've already touched on health and education is one of the issues.
Yeah, I think that is I know that is a must. Who works and who can work with each other, and not just with the state departments. Those people who we employ on the ground here, our own people. Let's deal with the problem. Let's everybody get in there and deal with that issue. Because we'd never have problems in the community and I've never backed away from it. Health, and if we're going to have health, there's a big draft in the health here in our communities. People are being taken away. Then if they're going to take people away from, draft out some of the people, then leave the people here who are going to work with Aboriginal people. Not those who are backstabbers, you know, that they bring in here from in Queensland Health. And leave our Indigenous health workers working for us, but get rid of the ones that don't want to work with the community.
Yeah, build the capacity of a community and for better outcomes. Greg, the Family Responsibilities Commission, what are your thoughts on that? Outcomes, versus dollars put into it and effort put into it by people, resources put in, and outcomes, results.
And Tiger, I've got to admit that this is where I had the fallout. Manage, I'm not income managed. So this is the way. So the Family Responsibilities Commission is managing. Now, he's got he want to be here, there, and everywhere like everyone else, but he's forced to be under this program. Why isn't there another program that they will help him out and saying, all right, we're going to income manage $200 from you? Not your $600, not your $800, not your $500, but we're going to income manage $200 from you. The rest is yours. No, they put them on a basic card, and the basic card limits them to what they get. And this is a person who don't have to feed nobody except himself.
Seems to be a bit extreme just for one individual, doesn't it? I mean, it might be different. It might be different. I'm not saying it is. It might be different if there was a bunch of dependents and not going to school or what have you, falling within their framework, within their law. But
that's it. And that's my nephew. I know that. He just told me about it last night. And we've got other people like others who don't have dependents and have been on this. So I'd like to work closely with Commissioner Glasgow. Whether he's still the commissioner, I'm not sure. But I want to work closely with him in how we set this up so as it doesn't distract people from going that way or discourage them from going that way. We need everybody to say, well, oh, yeah, that's a program that works. Let's work it this way.
So you want it to be voluntary. You want people to be able to recognise if they need help, There are options for health for help, and they can make that choice to go there. That's really what you're saying.
That's the bottom line, mate. Yeah. You know, they make up their mind what they want to
exactly.
do. And they go to the FRC and say, well, look, you know, I've got this bill here. I've been sent here by the courts, and I need to – this is how much I owe. Can I work out with you guys on having a basic card, but this money goes into the basic card?
Yep.
We fix it up over here.
Just like people would do out in the mainstream, mate. They're not on a reserve because they're still damn reserves. They're maybe community. They're still reserves. They're still controlled. Greg, we're getting towards news time. I appreciate you giving us your time and being prepared to discuss some of these issues because it's challenging times up there for you. And we can only wish you well and hope that you really get somewhere with a more coordinated approach and getting people to sit down and talk around the table and actually get some solutions in place that can be owned by community and build community capacity.
Thank you, Tiger, and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, mate. I'll talk to you again in the not-too-distant future.
Okay.
You have a good day and keep up the fight. Keep standing up for your people's rights. Thank you, Greg McLean, the Mayor of Hopevale Community, talking to us today on a range of things. And as he says, that Family Responsibilities Commission just, there are some failings, there are some flaws, as there is with everything. And if those flaws and failings can be identified, well, fix things up. Make some changes. Make them work. Don't have them being imposed upon people. It should be voluntary. People should be encouraged to seek help if you need help. It's really simple stuff. You don't need any real brains to do any of this sort of stuff. That's the sad part of this. It is time for me to go. You make sure you join us tomorrow for Let's Talk, because I will be back. Have a great day.